Let's dive into the details of membership meetings for community associations, shall we? First off, if you own a property within a community association, congratulations! Your ownership automatically grants you membership in that association. This means you have a voice in how things are run, and with that membership comes voting rights. You can vote on important matters, and if you can't make it to a meeting, you have the option to vote by proxy. Just keep in mind that the ability to vote by proxy might be limited by the association's governing documents or state laws. Now, let's talk about meetings. Every community association is required to hold at least one formal membership meeting each year, known as the annual meeting. The specifics, like the date and time, are outlined in the association's bylaws. The main purpose of this annual gathering is to fill any expiring terms of board members and to review the overall affairs of the association. In addition to the annual meeting, special meetings can be called when necessary, as permitted by the community's governing documents. However, these special meetings are typically limited in scope and are meant to address specific issues or problems. It's important to note that only the topics mentioned in the meeting notice can be voted on during these special gatherings. Speaking of notices, it's crucial to inform all members about upcoming meetings. This notice can be provided in three different ways. For instance, it can be mailed to the last address provided by the member, delivered by hand, though this requires a written waiver from the unit owner, or sent electronically via methods like email or fax. If a member opts for electronic notice, they need to ensure that any filters that might block these communications are managed on their end. Now here's a key point. All community associations must provide at least a 14-day notice before a membership meeting. To prove that this notice was given, an officer, usually the secretary, must keep a record of it. Alternatively, the association can use a United States Postal Service certificate of mailing as proof. This documentation becomes part of the meeting minutes. When you receive the notice for a membership meeting, it should include several important details. You'll find the date, time, and location of the meeting clearly stated. If the bylaws don't specify a location for a condominium association meeting, it should be held within 45 miles of the property. This rule, however, doesn't apply to timeshare associations. If it's a special meeting, the notice will also outline the purpose of that meeting, and if there are any amendments to the governing documents being considered, copies of those amendments should be included as well. For condominium and cooperative associations, the notice must also feature an agenda. And if a budget is on the table, a copy of the proposed budget along with reserve account calculations should be provided. Finally, to conduct any business during a membership meeting, a quorum must be present. For condominium associations, a quorum cannot exceed a majority of the membership, and any voting interest tied to a unit owned by the association itself cannot be counted. In cooperative associations, unless stated otherwise in the governing documents, a majority of the membership constitutes a quorum. For homeowners associations, a quorum is defined as 30% of the membership, unless a lower percentage is specified in the documents. So there you have it! Understanding these details about membership meetings can help you navigate your community association more effectively and ensure that your voice is heard. Let's dive into the topic of voting rights within community associations, which is a fundamental aspect of ownership in these shared living environments. When you own a condominium unit, a cooperative share, or a parcel in a homeowners association, you gain the right to vote at membership meetings. Now, if your property is owned by multiple individuals or an entity like a partnership or corporation, the community's governing documents may specify that one owner or a representative from that entity must be designated as the voter. This is where a document called a voting certificate comes into play. It designates which owner is entitled to cast a vote for that particular unit, parcel, or share. It's important to note that a voting certificate is not the same as a proxy. It remains valid for all meetings until it's changed. On the other hand, if one of the owners or shareholders provides a valid proxy for a specific meeting, that proxy serves a dual purpose. It acts as both a proxy and a voting certificate for that occasion. Now, let's talk about the rules surrounding proxies in community associations. The governing statutes and the community's governing documents allow members to use proxies to exercise their voting rights at meetings. Generally, these statutes outline specific requirements for proxies. For instance, proxies are only valid for 90 days, and to be considered valid, a general or limited proxy must include several key details. It should identify the person who will be voting, specify the meeting for which the proxy is granted, state the membership interest of the person giving the proxy, and clearly identify the member granting the proxy. On the other hand, if one of the owners or shareholders provides a valid proxy for a specific meeting, that proxy serves a dual purpose. It acts as both a proxy and a voting certificate for that occasion. Now, let's talk about the rules surrounding proxies in community associations. The governing statutes and the community's governing documents allow members to use proxies to exercise their voting rights at meetings. Generally, these statutes outline specific requirements for proxies. For instance, proxies are only valid for 90 days, and to be considered valid, a general or limited proxy must include several key details. It should identify the person who will be voting, specify the meeting for which the proxy is granted, state the membership interest of the person giving the proxy, and clearly identify the member granting the proxy. Additionally, there must be a signature block and date on the proxy form, signed by the designated voter or all owners of a condominium, shareholders of a cooperative, or parcel owners in a homeowners association. Interestingly, while the statutes don't limit the number of proxies one person can hold, the community documents might impose such restrictions. It's also worth mentioning that a proxy can be revoked at any time, and while the statutes don't require the proxy holder to be a member of the association, the community's documents might have different requirements. If the proxy allows it, the proxy holder can even appoint someone else to vote in their place. When it comes to condominium and cooperative associations, there are specific rules regarding the use of proxies for board member elections. Essentially, proxies cannot be used in these cases. However, a limited proxy is necessary for certain important votes, such as when members are voting to waive or reduce reserves, waive financial reporting, requirements, amend the declaration, articles of incorporation, or bylaws, or on any other matter where the statute requires or allows a membership vote. For any items that don't require a limited proxy, general proxies can be used. Both types of proxies can also help establish a quorum for meetings. Lastly, it's important to note that regardless of what the Articles of Incorporation or bylaws state, any copy, facsimile transmission, or reliable reproduction of the original proxy can be used in place of the original. This means as long as the reproduction is complete and accurately reflects the original proxy, it's valid for any purpose that the original proxy could serve. So, understanding these voting rights and proxy rules is crucial for anyone involved in a community association, ensuring that every member can participate in the decision-making process effectively. Now, let's talk about the membership meeting roster. The board is responsible for maintaining a roster of association members, which is crucial for determining attendance at meetings. This roster includes the names and addresses of all owners or shareholders, as well as the specific parcels, units, or shares they own. When it comes to voting at these meetings, there are several methods available. Members can vote by general consent, voice vote, show of hands, roll call, or by ballot. Most community associations follow Robert's Rules of Order for parliamentary procedure during these meetings, which helps maintain order and decorum. According to these rules, the chair of the meeting typically doesn't vote, except by written ballot, unless they need to break a tie or change the outcome of a vote. For example, if a motion passes by just one vote and the chair votes against it, that could create a tie, resulting in the motion failing. Now, let's touch on electronic voting. Associations have the option to conduct elections and other votes through an online voting system, but only if a unit owner consents to this method in writing. There are specific requirements that must be met for this to happen. For instance, the association must provide each unit owner with a way to authenticate their identity to the online voting system and ensure that the electronic ballots are transmitted securely to maintain their secrecy and integrity. Additionally, at least 14 days before the voting deadline, the association must confirm that members' electronic devices can successfully connect to the online voting system. The online voting system must also be capable of authenticating the unit owner's identity and ensuring that each electronic vote remains unaltered during transmission. After casting a vote, each unit owner should receive a receipt confirming their participation. Importantly, for board elections, the system must permanently separate any identifying information from the electronic ballot, making it impossible to link a ballot back to a specific unit owner. The system should also store electronic votes so they can be accessed by election officials for recounts or reviews. When a unit owner votes electronically, they are considered present at the meeting for quorum purposes. However, substantive votes on issues can only be taken on matters specifically identified in the electronic vote when quorum is established through electronic participation. This provision applies to associations that authorize an online voting system through a board resolution. The resolution must ensure that unit owners are notified about the opportunity to vote online, establish reasonable procedures and deadlines for consent, and outline how unit owners can opt out of online voting after giving their consent. Importantly, written notice of the meeting where this resolution will be discussed must be sent out at least 14 days in advance, and compliance with this notice requirement must be documented. Lastly, once a unit owner consents to online voting, that consent remains valid until they decide to opt out, following the procedures set by the board. It's also important to note that these statutes apply to any matter requiring a vote from unit owners who are not part of a timeshare condominium association. 1. What is the minimum number of formal membership meetings that a community association must hold each year? A. 2. B. 1. C. 3. D. 4. The answer is B. The minimum number of formal membership meetings that a community association must hold each year is 1. 2. How much notice must community associations provide before a membership meeting? A. 7 days. B. 10 days. C. 14 days. D. 30 days. The answer is C. The community associations must provide 14 days notice before a membership meeting. 3. Which of the following methods is not mentioned as a way to provide notice for upcoming meetings? A. Mailed notice. B. Hand-delivered notice. C. Telephone call. D. Electronic notice. The answer is C. A telephone call is not mentioned as a way to provide notice for upcoming meetings. 4. In condominium associations, what constitutes a quorum? A. A majority of the board members. B. 30% of the membership. C. A majority of the membership. D. All members present. The answer is C. A majority of the membership constitutes a quorum in a community association. 5. What is a voting certificate used for in community associations? A. To allow members to vote by proxy. B. To provide proof of ownership. C. To confirm attendance at meetings. D. To designate which owner can vote for a property owned by multiple individuals. The answer is D. In community associations, a voting certificate is used to designate which owner can vote for a property owned by multiple individuals. 6. Which type of proxy is necessary for certain important votes in condominium and cooperative associations? A. General proxy. B. Limited proxy. C. Special proxy. D. Permanent proxy. The answer is B. A limited proxy is necessary for certain important votes in condominium and cooperative associations. 7. What must be included in the notice for a special meeting? A. The names of all board members. B. A summary of past meetings. C. The purpose of the meeting. D. A list of all members. The correct answer is C. The purpose of the meeting must be included in the notice for a special meeting. 8. When voting electronically, what must the online voting system ensure regarding the ballots? A. They can be traced back to the voter. B. They remain unaltered during transmission. C. They are visible to all members. D. They are counted immediately after submission. The correct answer is B. When voting electronically, the online voting system must ensure that the ballots remain unaltered during transmission. As always, if you are not comfortable with the information that you know from this selection, you can review this lesson, Section 3, Lesson 1, or review Section 3 in your course manual through page 70.